Thank you, Lord, that we can approach you tonight in the name of Jesus. It goes right with our study, but we don't claim any merit of our own. We don't deserve to be heard by you. We deserve to be estranged from you and damned. But we come to you in Jesus' name, claiming his righteousness, his blood, his place that he has granted to us by faith. So thank you. Thank you that tonight we can gather to study and encourage each other. We can gather for prayer. We have so much to pray about. And even that is because of your grace and the power of the name of Christ. Pray for those who are studying your word on different parts of the hill. Pray for our children in Awana Club. And as that club is winding up soon, I pray that you'll finish the work that you have to do this year in the lives of these kids. And thank you for those who are laboring. I pray that the gospel that is heard, is memorized, is recited, I pray that it will sink deep into their hearts. And I pray that you will use it to draw them to salvation. Lord, if there are children who are attending Awana Club who don't yet know Christ as Savior, would you please rectify that before they leave and draw them to salvation? It would bring us great delight. It would bring you even more delight. You rejoice over repentant sinners. And in your mercy, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. Pray for our teens, and thank you for those who labor faithfully with them. Pray that you would be working in their hearts as well, drawing them to salvation if needed, or maturing them, giving them a conscience and a heart that is passionate for you, that desires to serve you. So please work all over the hill tonight. For those who can't be with us tonight, please encourage them and minister to them. We have needs that are physical, and we pray that you would bring healing, whether it's a baby, baby Finley, or whether it's people who are struggling with cancer. We look to you as the Lord who heals, and we ask for your mercy and help in those situations. And also, Lord, the God of grace, the God who gives peace to us in the midst of turmoil. I pray that you would minister to people spiritually and emotionally as well. Lord, I pray for my friend Drew Conley, a pastor in Greenville, who in this last week has lost a beloved son. And I can't imagine any deeper grief than that. And I pray that you would minister to him and his family and to the people at Hampton Park and show that your grace is sufficient even for that, the most terrible of burdens, and give joy in the midst of sorrow. And it reminds us of the loss that you suffered in losing your son to obtain our salvation, and we thank you. Lord, these are just a few requests. There are many more to mention. We remember again our sister, Afia. Pray for your encouragement as she's lost a sister and is so far removed from her family in Ghana. Please encourage her heart. Help us to surround her and support her and show how deeply we admire and love her. Now meet with us tonight, as you promised to do. And I pray that we'll have a great beginning to this study. We're not studying just a bunch of Hebrew names, Hebrew words. We're studying you. And I pray that you would meet with us and make this a really effective and even life-changing time for us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you hadn't heard about the Conley family, Drew Conley's pastor at Hampton Park Baptist Church in Greenville and lost his 20-something-year-old son, and just ask you to be praying for them during their sorrow. Well, we'll start tonight in Psalm 113. Your Bible might naturally fall open to the Psalms anyway. So Psalm 113 is where we will begin. Page 510 if you're using one of the Pew Bibles. The Word of God says, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Now, the psalm goes on, but it begins and several times mentions to us that we are to praise the Lord, and then it says we are to praise the name of the Lord. All day long, we praise His name. We start this series on the names of God, and rather than diving in and beginning with Elohim or Jehovah or the compound names that we read in the Old Testament, I want to do just kind of an overview and kind of set the table to talk about why this study is important. I have notes that we're going to work through, but let me just ask you to kind of brainstorm and consider this question. Why do you think it's important for us to study the names of God from the Scripture? Why is that a beneficial study? Necessary? Helpful? Yes, Jerry. It tells us who He is. Okay, explain that a little further. Right. Jehovah Jireh, He's our provider. Jehovah Nisi, He's our banner of victory. It tells us about Him. Now see, in our world, that may not be the case. Okay, I say, my name is Chris. It's actually Christopher. Now, what do you know about my character from that? Not really much. You know, we tend to choose names based on how they sound. Maybe based on, you know, somebody that we're named after, my middle name. Anybody know my middle name? Anybody? Who? What'd you say? Robin. No, it's not Robin. That was ascribed to me, and I should never have shared that. All right. Now you all say that you know me, but you don't even know my middle name. All right. Does anybody here know my middle name? Lori, what's my middle name? Owen. Yeah, she knows that because she has known me, you know, longer and more intimately. You know, it's why we do things like for your bank, if you have a security question, they'll ask you your mother's maiden name. Why is that a good security question? Because only you would know that. You know the person well, then even if their name doesn't have a specific meaning, you know them well enough to know some details that others wouldn't know. But when we learn God's name, we're not learning a name like Christopher or like Owen or like most of your names. We're actually learning names that carry meaning about who He is. Okay, so to study His name, we're learning things about His character. And we'll see that as we go through our study. And we'll touch on it a little bit tonight. What other good reasons for studying the names of God? We study His names to know more about His character. All right. Other good reasons. David. Absolutely. It makes our relationship with Him more personal. Okay. What if I were to say, you know, the only name we had for God, if the only name we had for God were God, do you think we would miss anything? You know, it's a lot more personal, to use David's word, when we say the Lord is my shepherd. Okay? Or the Lord is my righteousness. The Lord is my provider. Okay? All these names that they're not just revealing things about Him, but they're revealing things about our relationship with Him. It's much more personal. And you know, if you were to choose one name that really does justice to the character of God, what would it be? Holiness, you know, holy would be a word that could be used about Him, but it's an impossible task. There is no one word, there's no one name that does justice to His grandeur. I mean, He is so complex. He's so grand. And, you know, it's like me saying a couple years ago for the first time I went to the Grand Canyon. somebody says, "Have you been to the Grand Canyon?" Yeah. Yeah, I've been to a sliver of the Grand Canyon. I haven't hiked it. I haven't rafted through it. I haven't studied it. I've seen a small angle of a sliver of, a minor portion of the Grand Canyon. All right, one name isn't sufficient to describe a God so vast and infinite. And in mercy, he has given us, kind of different looks from all these different angles. And he is holy. He is God. But he is also, we could use attributes or names. He's also gracious, and he's compassionate, and he's patient. And all of these things kind of give us a composite of who he is that one name alone couldn't do. Anybody else? Other reasons why we should study the names of God? Yes. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and is safe. Proverbs 18:10. So, what does that mean? Somebody's attacking you and you say, Jehovah, and you're safe from any harm. No, probably not. I mean, not necessarily. But when you know his names, when you know specific things about him that he's revealed to us, then whatever challenges life brings, you have a tower that you can run to and be delivered from your own fear and from the challenges that life has. God has revealed, what do you need me to be? I'm that, and I'm that, and I'm that. And we'll get to this, but even the name Jehovah, I am what? I'm everything. And I'm not saying that in some pantheistic way. Not everything is God, but God is, it's almost like there is no end to that sentence. I am everything you need me to be. I always have been. I always will be. All right. So we study his names to know him better. I would say to worship him better, to trust him more, to run to him as a refuge. And when you know who he is, this study should affect our prayers, because now we should be better armed for prayer to say, wow, there are names of God from Scripture that I have never given much thought to. And, it's beautiful. The name of Jesus is beautiful. But there are so many other names, and some of them are kind of complex. They're Hebrew. Jehovah Mekadishkim, Jehovah Tzidkenu. And you say, well, I can't even say it. Well, once you learn it, it will be so encouraging to you. Now, we're not learning this in some abracadabra magic way. It's like this is the secret password. Now your prayer life, now that you know Jehovah Mekadishkim, your prayer life is just going to go to another level. You'll be guarded against Satan's wiles like never before. It's not some Pentecostal magic phrase. And in fact, if we think of it that way, we might be like the seven sons of Sceva. And, we think by using a special name that demons will flee, and actually they might beat us up and tear our clothes off and we'll have to run away. All right. The name of God isn't a magic word. But when we come to know him better, we can praise him better. We can trust him more. And we're just getting more intimately acquainted with him. It's a very valuable study. It's going to be a good thing for us. Now, Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare writes, a well-known line from the play. I think it's Juliet who says, "What's in a name? What's in a name?" And the next line, "That which we call a rose by any other word would smell as sweet." All right, that which we call a rose by any other word would smell as sweet. What she's saying is, what difference does a name make? Okay, say a rose were named Sulfur. Would it still smell as sweet? Yeah. I mean, the nomenclature really doesn't matter to the essence of the thing. Now, ironically, I think Juliet would come to learn that what's in a name? Well, if it's Montague or Capulet, a lot. You know, what she was saying is, I don't care what his name is. And actually, it was pretty significant in her setting. But in a biblical setting, it's very important. Let me get more feedback from you. Think of names of individuals in the Bible that had significance. All right, not every name had significance all the time. Okay, you might have John or James, and they're named after a great-grandfather. But think of some names of people, not divine names, but human names that had significance in the Bible. Their meaning mattered. And there's several. What do you got? Abraham. Abram turned to Abraham. Sarai turned to Sarah. And essentially because of promises of God, because of encounter with God. Okay? Other names in the Bible that had significance. Daniel. Explain. All right, God is my judge. And that name isn't just kind of a random thing. That is actually very applicable and to the sovereignty of God. And you know, it was significant that when they went into Babylon, they were given, you know, no more Hebrew names. We're going to call you by these good Babylonian names. All right, there's something significant about what they were called. Good. Others. Methuselah. Why? All right, there's actually a prophecy that is included in his name. Okay? Good. There was another one? Yes. Paul. And we see him before conversion called Saul and then later called Paul. I actually recently, for the first time, was exposed to an argument that it's not so much that he had like a divine name change, but why would Saul be used before his conversion and Paul after his conversion? Well, where does the name Saul come from? It's Hebrew. He's a Pharisee. He's rising through the Hebrew ranks of leadership. The name Paul, it may not be so much that Paul, it's not so much like Peter, you know, you're Simon, but from now on I'm going to call you Peter because on this rock I'll build my church. You know, Paul is a name that's not a Hebrew name, but it's kind of the Greek equivalent. And in his missionary journeys, you know, maybe it was advantageous for him to be known by a Greek name instead of a Hebrew name. Okay, but another name change, significant in Scripture. Good. Barnabas. All right, and Barnabas, where did he get his name? Barnabas wasn't his given name. His name is Joses. Yeah, and the name Barnabas was given to him because it meant son of encouragement, consolation. Basically, people around him said, you know, the name Joses doesn't do justice. We're going to call you Captain Encouragement. Okay, it was his nickname because it just fit his character. So you didn't have somebody whose name was changed in expectation of what they would become. You had somebody, this name fits who you are. Some other times we see names changed in anticipation. All right, so I'm surprised nobody's mentioned yet. Jacob means like a supplanter, deceiver. His name is changed to Israel, prince with God. And he had a divine encounter and his future was changed. His character to some degree was changed. Okay, we have a lot of examples. Hosea's children are given these really strange names, but they're prophetic. Who is that? Ruth? Yeah, I hadn't thought of Ruth, but Ruth, and then do you remember Naomi took a name, you know, call me what? Mara. You know, you call me like bitter. And in Bible times, especially in the Old Testament, these names carried meaning. Now, God's names are more like that. They carry meaning with them. And we'll see that when in the pronouncement that there is going to be a child born, you shall call his name Jesus, Jehovah saves, Yeshua, because it is He who will save His people from their sins. So His name fits who He is. Or a virgin will conceive and you will call His name Emmanuel, God with us. All right, and it actually carries meaning. Well, the names of God aren't merely nicknames. They're descriptions of who He is. A couple other questions. Can you think of texts in Scripture that associate a certain promise or a certain power to something that's done in the name of the Lord? When something is done in the name of the Lord, Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs to it and is safe. Okay, what other promises or displays of God's power are attributed to His name? Demons are cast out using His name. And one time demons weren't cast out using name. You know, we know Jesus and Paul, but who are you? Okay, so it's not magical, but there is power in the essence of His name. And we'll get to this, but the power isn't in the syllables. The power isn't in the letters, the sounds. The power of Jesus' name means what? It's the power of Jesus. It's not the name itself. It's that the name is representative of Him. Okay, you think of John 16, 23 and 24. Up till now, you have not asked for anything in My name, but whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, so the Father will be glorified. So we pray in Jesus' name. Jesus says in Matthew 18, 20, for where two or more are gathered in My name, I am in their midst. There am I with them. Okay, or Peter in Acts 3 finds the lame man. You know, we've sung that song before. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then later he says, it's not me, but it's Jesus and the name of Jesus that has made this man well. Anything else? The power of the name of God or the name of Jesus. Absolutely. Okay, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We have salvation that comes in the name of the Lord. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which you must be saved. Okay, the name of God is a powerful thing. And last question, just to kind of keep you thinking about God's name. What are we commanded to do or not do with the name of God? All right, we're obviously not to take God's name in vain, which means what? Right, we don't use it as a curse word, but we also don't just use it as a common word. Okay, it's not only that you don't curse with it, but you don't treat it flippantly. All right, you revere it. I would say this: if you're in church singing and not thinking, you are in danger of taking the Lord's name in vain. All right. It's not like you're mad and cursing and no, but you're not esteeming it. You're treating it like something, you know, that is not valuable. Okay? We're not to take it in vain. Instead, we are to revere it. And when the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, He says, pray like this: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Why? Why the name? Psalm 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 86:11 tells us to fear his name, right? There's so many other places that we're told to glorify his name, to exalt his name. That the text we started with, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. God's name matters a lot, is what we're saying. And I want to look at a few reasons why this is so valuable. I would say, number one, God's name is a representation of God himself. Okay? God's name is a representation of God himself. Again, it's not the letters, the syllables that matter. It's that they stand for him. Now, we don't have physical representations of God. We're forbidden to do that. But we do have verbal representations of God. You know, the name Jesus is so precious to us. Jesus, Yeshua, whatever it might be in different languages, but it's precious to us. And it's not, you know, Jesus, it's not those five letters, it's that they represent the person. Okay, do you remember when you were in junior high school or high school, maybe college, and you had a crush? And have you ever seen somebody, they have a crush, and they just can't stop writing the person's name? You know, those of you who are teachers, you might see a student doodling, and they just keep writing that name. You know, what is it? What's so special about Steve? You know, S-T-E-V-E. Why do you keep writing that over and over? You don't love the letters. You love what is represented by the person. Now, the Jews actually totally messed that up. And you know the name Jehovah. They were so interested in revering it, they wouldn't say it. They wouldn't even write it. And they almost made an idol of the letters. You know, and they totally missed that this should have been something that they enjoyed and revered because it represented God. So, again, look at Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise the Lord, and then we're told to praise the name of the Lord. Now, are we supposed to praise him or are we supposed to praise his name? Do we praise the Lord or do we praise the name of the Lord? All right, we praise him. So why does it tell us to praise his name? Why do we praise his name when we mean to praise him? Well, what's the difference between him and his name? It's kind of hard to fit, you know. When you talk about his name, when I honor his name, I'm honoring him. When I take his name in vain, I'm blaspheming him. Okay, and I know this seems very obvious, but when we study the names of God, we're not studying Hebrew. We're studying God. All right? Studying the names of God is theology proper. We're studying him. Nothing is better than studying God. So whether we're studying his attributes, his actions now, his titles, his names, it's not the name that matters. It's the God that is represented by them. Tom, did you have a comment? I couldn't tell if you were waving your hand or not. All right, look at Psalm 121, just a few pages over. Psalm 121, verse 2. We studied this together, remember? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Okay, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Got it? Now look over at Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's almost identical. One says our help is in the Lord. The other one says our help is in the name of the Lord. What's the difference? Well, there really is no difference. Okay, to say our help is in the name of the Lord, or to say that salvation is found only in the name of Jesus, what we mean is Jesus. Not the name, not the syllables, not Not the vain repetition of that, but the power exists in the person that that name represents. Okay, so God's name is a representation of God Himself. But I would take that even a step further. Secondly, God's name is a revelation of God Himself. It's not just that it's written or spoken symbols that represent God. It is a revelation. What's the difference between saying His name is a representation of God Himself and His name is a revelation of God Himself? What's the difference between representation and revelation? Okay, it reveals His character. Where does revelation come from? Where does revelation come from? Where does revelation come from? It comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's God-breathed. When we're studying the names of God, we're not coming up with clever titles that somebody has thought would be a fitting description of God. You know, I really like to think of God this way. Blah, 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 blah. All right, and you can sell millions of books that way. You know, the idea of Jesus calling is kind of, you know, this is how I like to think about God and what I think He would say to me. And no, that when we're studying the names of God, we're not coming up with something clever that people have said about God. The names of God revealed in Scripture are God's self-revelation, God's self-disclosure. It's not only that this is who He is, it's who He has told us He is. It's what He wants us to know about Him. Okay, so when we study these names like El Elyon or you know, some of these Jehovah Tsidkenu, we're not studying people's ideas about God. We're studying God's self-disclosure. Look at Exodus 33. Exodus 33, we'll start in verse 18. Moses said, "Please show me your glory." Okay, God, here we are on Mount Sinai, and I'm getting face-to-face interaction with you. But I want even more. God, show me your glory. I want to know more about you. All right. The best pursuit that we could have is to come to know more about God. God says, "I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah." And then He says, "And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And then He will tell him, "You can't see my face and live. I'll hide you in a rock." But when He says, "Show me your glory," and God says, "I will declare to you my name, Jehovah." You know, what was God doing there? Was he going to repeat His name again and again? God, show me your glory. I'll show you my name. Jehovah. 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 No, He said, "I will declare my name to you." And immediately after that, He says, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And it's almost like He's starting to unpack the significance of His name. My name, Jehovah, that I declare to you. You want to know me? I'm going to tell you my name. And I'm going to tell you what it means. And it's not just what the letters means. My name is my essence. And now He starts giving His attributes. I will have mercy where I will have mercy. I will be gracious when I want to be gracious. I'm telling you, I'm merciful, I'm gracious, I'm sovereign in my distribution of grace and mercy. But when Moses says, show me yourself, God says, I'll tell you my name, and then he starts unpacking his character, I think it tells us a lot about what we're supposed to be learning from the names of God. Again, these aren't just titles to memorize. These are his descriptions of himself. Anthony Evans, Tony Evans, if you've listened to him on the Urban Alternative, I love to hear him preach. Tony Evans writes on the names of God. He says, getting to know God by his names is more than simply learning a new word or discovering a new title he goes by. Learning to know God by his names opens up the door to knowing his character more fully and experiencing his power more deeply. All right, we're coming to know him. MacArthur says, the name of God is the composite of all his attributes. Okay, what we're saying is there is something theologically significant to be learned from studying God's names. I'll give you a couple more things. I'm going to have you turn to just one or two more texts. Turn to Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 10. In some ways, this could be the theme for the entire study. Psalm 9, verse 10. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, Jehovah, have not forsaken those who seek you. Okay, explain to me what it means in the first half of that verse. Those who know your name put their trust in you. Okay, we're back to that question we had at the beginning. Why do we study the names of God? According to Psalm 9:10, why do we study the names of God? Well, those who know his name trust him more. Okay, so it's good that you trust God, but it's going to be easier to trust him when you know that he is Jehovah Sabaoth, which is what? The Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts. Okay, so I'm in trouble, and my God is a warrior God. His name is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He'll fight for me. And it increases my faith in him. Okay, I feel like I'm lost. And I read that God's name, what is the Lord is my shepherd? I think it's Jehovah Shammah. All right. He shepherds me, cares for me. What do we say when his name is the Lord who heals? Remember? Do you remember what name of Jehovah is the Lord who heals? Jehovah Rapha. Okay, so you're facing an illness and you say, God help me, and somebody says, you know, one of his names? I mean, one of the ways he has revealed himself to us is by the name Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord who heals. And now you're praying, and you're not just praying, God, heal me. You're praying, God, you have said you are the Lord who heals, Jehovah Rapha. And now I have even more faith because you have made promises associated with your very character, and you've revealed yourself through your name. So when we know him more, we trust him more. I think in the 1950s, there was a song, I think it's the 50s, but to know him is to love him. 60s? 50s or 60s? 60s, all right. I always think of that when I think to know him more is to love him more, but it's to trust him more. The more we know about his names, the more we're going to trust him. And it gets back to that Proverbs 18:10. His name, the Lord who provides, or the Lord who heals, or, oh, God, I'm so sick of sinning. And I know there's all these New Testament promises about Christ's blood cleansing me, but I also know that one of God's names is the Lord my righteousness. Oh, that is so encouraging. because I don't have any righteousness of my own. So Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness. And God, I feel like I can't stop sinning. I feel like I don't grow. And temptation always wins. And one of his names is Jehovah Emkadeshkim. Okay, which means I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Well, good, because I need that. I'm struggling here. But your very name tells what you intend and promise to do. It increases our faith. Again, Anthony Evans writes, God has a name for every situation we find ourselves in. We need to learn the names of God because when we know his character and his capacity, we will find rest and discover peace and power in his covenantal care of us. Okay, so we study God for his sake, not as consumers, but as worshipers. We can praise him better because we know his name, and we now say, Lord, I praise you that your name is such and such. But we can also trust him and find rest for ourselves. Remember Psalm 20? Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember. It didn't just say God. It says we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Okay, so all these things that God reveals himself to be, say our provider, Jehovah Jireh. Some trust in what? Some trust in income. Some trust in stock market. Some trust in savings account. Some trust in IRA. So, but we will remember the name of Jehovah Jireh. Okay, so it's so practical to take the promises of God about his names and take the names themselves and put them together. And I think there are some depths of growth and devotion that maybe have been mostly untapped for you. Psalms tell us to praise his name, glorify his name, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. We exalt his name together. We sing the glory of his name. We sing praises to his name. We call upon his name. And if his name is associated with this many promises, we should learn what it is. And it's more than just God and Jesus. As beautiful as those are, there are some beautiful revelations of God that we're going to get to study together. Now, from now on, when we come in, we'll study a name. And some of these names are used in one passage of Scripture, and we'll just study that passage. Some of them are used all over Scripture, and to avoid just wandering all over, we'll probably select a specific passage. So tonight's an overview, and then the weeks ahead, we'll settle down and start making some progress. This is going to be a fun study, and I've looked forward to it. I hope it'll be a blessing to you as well. All right, Lord, thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in so many beautiful ways. You've revealed yourself through these self-revelation, self-disclosures, your names tell us about your character and your promises. And as we take time to study them, Lord, we're not trying to be clever or just learn some new spiritual tricks for prayer. We want to know you. We want to know you better as you've revealed yourself in Scripture. So bless our studies, and might they actually have really positive results in our own walks with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.